We hear in that first reading from the book of Deuteronomy, verses 4 and 5, that is, the Jews call it the Shema. The Shema. Shema is hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. To love him with all our hearts, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. This is the first thing that young Jewish kids learn, memorize, repeat often, because it is the start and the purpose for all the other statutes and commandments, as we hear in this beautiful exchange with the scribe. The mind is to understand, not just to know, but to understand. That we could memorize things, but that doesn't mean that we understand them. The Lord wants all of our bodies and soul, our heart, our mind, our strength to be enacted in our faith. So, it's matched with a beautiful reading from the letter to the Hebrews about the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And it gives some understanding to what priesthood is in the sacrament of holy orders. That it doesn't change and make me perfect like Jesus was. But instead, I stand in the person of Christ. And it's his priesthood, not mine. It is he that makes these things happen, not David Richter. But I'm the vessel. The holy orders makes a man a vessel for Jesus to be present in him. It works well. At least people tell me it's a lot better if I become more like him. That I'm as kind and merciful as him. But we'll talk about the second commandment a little bit later. But this amazement of how it's Jesus that consecrates the bread, that says, this is my body, in the person of the priest. A beautiful gift that it's his priesthood. It's he that is presiding. That you're not here to see me, but to see Jesus, that he is the kingdom of God is at hand. It is present to us because he's present. So the second commandment, because we can't see and touch God in a human way, we see him and we can touch him in the gift of the Eucharist, but that isn't in bodily form. And so how do we experience how to love without having a person? Well, that's what the second commandment is about, that each of us are a temple of God. And by loving one another, we are loving God. They go hand in hand. So I usually, I often think and sometimes say that I'm going to try to do better than loving you as I love myself. See, loving ourselves rightly is very important. Because if we don't love ourselves well, if we dislike who we are, we don't see our dignity and beauty, it is going to be hard to love others the way God wants us to love them. So I want to run through quickly how this happens, and how it's a part of prayer. See, prayer is relating to God. But how do we do that? So if you want to remember the three little letter acronym of RIM, R-I-M. We are to relate with God, our thoughts, our feelings, and our desires. But the I is for my identity, our identity as beloved children. So we're not coming as customers to get what we want. We approach God as his beloved sons and daughters. This is the identity that we're given at baptism. This is the identity that God says is constant as he looks upon us as beloved children. And it's all meant for the mission. We relate to God, talking to him about our mission as his beloved sons and daughters. And what is the mission? We just heard it. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. If we come to him experiencing his gaze of love that we are beloved sons and daughters, and we share our heart, we offer our tears where we failed to do what we wanted to do and knew we should do, and we encounter mercy and gentleness and newness of life in the sacraments, in prayer, before God in adoration, that he's a God of love, a God of mercy, and we are beloved children who want to love our brothers and sisters. You know this as families. Kids, you know this, that if you obey your parents, you listen to their words of love and instruction, it's a lot easier to love and accept your brothers and sisters the way they are. But if you're not willing to love your parents and trust what they tell you, it causes chaos with everyone. This is the principle of our faith, just as it is for our family. And it's so important that we don't try to compare God with how we are, but instead see how God is and then strive to be like that. You understand the difference? You say, well, you know, our family, we fight, so God must fight. No, God doesn't fight, and he wants us not to fight. But on our own, we can't do it. That's why we come here, to receive that life, to receive that strength, to have Jesus, have God alive in us, that his kingdom is in our hearts because we've experienced it in a loving exchange with him in prayer, and we receive his life in the sacraments. So brothers and sisters, let's not make it overly complicated. To love is to obey, to honor, to trust, and then to strive to do what we are asked by God. And when we fail, we come as beloved children to him. When we succeed, we come as children exalting and talking about the beauty that we experience when we obey. And then we love others as we have been loved by God, and seeing the dignity of who he has made us individually. So let us come to the true gift of God in the Eucharist to be strengthened, to be loved, to be nourished, so that we are able to put into practice in a very earthly way the love of God above all things by loving one another in word and action.